Hundreds of thousands of people from over 140 countries are currently attending the World Meeting of Families in Milan to discuss issues affecting marriage and family life. Among the participants at the meeting is Edmond Adamus, Director for Marriage and Family Life at the Diocese of Westminster in London. Susie Hodges spoke to him just before his departure for Milan. How healthy is the institution of marriage and the family in modern day Britain with all the social and cultural pressures that there are nowadays?
Yes, it's the big question, isn't it? I mean, I think everyone is profoundly aware of the enormous breakdown in family life in Britain over the last 2-3 decades, and this is well known in the church, it's well known in society. The governments, or rather the previous Conservative parties, report on Breakdown Britain, produced by the Centre for Social Justice several years ago, spelled out pretty plainly and with solid evidence base as to the landscape we're living in terms of family dysfunction and breakdown. And more recently, the establishment of the Marriage Foundation is based on the hard experience of a High Court judge who for many, many years has seen the courts and the legal system costing an absolute fortune in the breakdown of family life. You know, it's something like to the tune of £44 billion a year to the cost of the economy. So although in one sense it's bleak, and no one can deny that, however, I think the challenges and the harsh realities of the breakdown of family life also presents us, all of us everywhere, but particularly in Britain, with the challenge to try and achieve a renaissance of marriage and family life, right across the spectrum of political parties and faiths and communities. And I think at the grassroots, I think there's a real desire for that renaissance. There was a survey recently of 15 to 23-year-olds across schools and colleges, and 94% of those young people all aspired to a lifelong union of marriage and children.
Yes, it's interesting that these surveys always show the strong desire for marriage, but, you know, as you say, so many marriages nowadays do go down the path towards divorce and separation. I mean, why? Have there been some studies done on that? Because obviously understanding why this happens is going to be key to trying to improve those figures.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think that, and I think that's why, as time goes on, the churches, and the Catholic Church in particular, is trying to identify in a very smart way, but also a very pastoral way, good, solid resources for marriage preparation. And I don't just mean looking after those who are engaged to get married and seeking to get married in the church, but marriage preparation across the life cycle, from infancy through to childhood, from adolescence through to young adulthood, and then eventually for those who are committed to get married in engagement. We're beginning to address the provision of marriage preparation in the totality of a life cycle. There's a long way to go, but there's a greater awareness of it now than there was, say, maybe 5 or 10 years ago. And I think with the Year of Faith coming up and the Synod and the New Evangelization, etc., and of course the great networking opportunities that the meeting in Milan will present, hopefully we'll begin to see some really sharing of concrete ideas, good ideas and good practice in the whole field of marriage preparation, because we can't really ignore anymore the fact that the social phenomena of cohabitation, contraception, abortion, which affects so many people prior to them getting married, has a huge impact on their ability to sustain a marriage. And that's really important that we own up to those and own those issues in the context of what we do for marriage preparation in a parish.
As a married man with a family, what do you find personally are the greatest challenges you face in helping to support and strengthen your own family unit?
Well, my own life of faith, recourse to prayer. As a family, my wife and I have always, from the very beginning actually, since before we got married, we take very seriously our need to pray together as a couple, aside from praying privately whenever we do, but we feel it's really important for us to come together before God as a unique pair, as a unique couple, in thanksgiving and also in intercession for our needs and our needs as a family, our needs as a couple, our needs for our role as parents, and also our sense of responsibility to the wider community, that we have a leadership role to play in terms of our parish community, being of service to our parish community, being of service to other married couples. fact, there was a phrase recently used by Archbishop Nichols in his recent pastoral letter to English and Welsh Catholics on the importance of marriage. And he used this phrase that spousal love has astonishing power. And I think one of the things I've always tried to do, I suppose as a theologian, but also as a married man and father, is to try and tap into that astonishing power. And if we can share that awareness with others, then that's what we try to do and feel that's part of our calling.
Okay, well, as you said there, and as I know, you are a father. Many present-day authors say raising a child has never been more challenging than in today's society. Do you agree with that, and if so, why?
I'm not so sure I do agree with that totally. I think raising children since time immemorial has always been a great challenge and will always be so. It's an enormous but awesome responsibility that God entrusts this child or children to your care and to your loving responsibility. But of course, each child is unique and each child is a gift. So your child is no one else's child, and God gives you the necessary charisms and gifts to bring them up the way he wants them to be brought up. But I do think there is a certain additional burden, shall we say, on parents today, and I think that's the growing increase in influence of the technological revolution, the internet and everything else, which is good in itself, of course, but like so many things, like television may have been in the 40s and 50s, is an invasion on the quality time of family life and potentially invades into the space that parents try to have with their children. It's not easy because one wants to get the balance right between allowing children access to these good things, but also, you know, claiming really important space to interact with your children and also to interact as a family, you know, mealtimes and things like this, which we can so often take them for granted. And yet many families can go a whole week without sitting around the table together. There's no perfect parent, there's no perfect marriage. We all need help, we all need inspiration, and hopefully, you know, a wider availability of courses to help parents and books on parenting, particularly Christian Catholic parenting, so much the better. And the World Meeting certainly presents the opportunities to showcase those kind of things.
Right, looking at your own family, you have a son who's nearly three. What have been some of the most difficult issues you've had to face in trying to raise your child and the lessons you've had to take on board, perhaps lessons that you didn't know until you actually became a father yourself?
I think the biggest lesson I've had to learn is the importance of making a clear distinction between work time and family time. And I have a tendency, I think like a lot of people, but particularly men perhaps, to be a bit of a workaholic, bring work home. And these days with the BlackBerry and things, you know, you literally bring your office with you. And I've had to work hard at thinking, well, actually, no, that I switched that thing off because I'm home now. I have to be present to my son and share that time with him, which is, to be honest, when you get home from work at the end of a hard day, it's not long between you getting home, having something to eat and getting him ready for bed, and he's in bed. But those couple of hours or whatever that one has with one's child as a father at the end of the day are, from very early on, from baby into infancy, is so essential for their later human development. You're sowing seeds for the future, and I've even begun to see the importance of that. And as he's begun to articulate his feelings and it grows better in his speech, his power of speech, actually being reprimanded by your child is quite a lesson. And somehow, you know, we say out of the mouths of babes that the voice of God comes, and it is true. I think children in their innocence, a playful innocence, when they kind of tell their parents off, is almost a reminder in a sense of God's voice saying, you know, maybe you just need to rethink your priorities here. And I'm grateful for that reminder. It teaches you to be humble.
So what's he been telling you off about?
Well, it might be things like, well, for example, not putting the mobile down or the BlackBerry down when he wants to show me his toys or wants me to take him out to play football or something like that. But it could also be where, let's say, there may be one or two raised voices in the kitchen between myself and my wife, and he might kind of wag his finger and say, no, Daddy, you know, don't shout, no shouting. And you think, well, that's the Lord speaking to you through your own offspring, and it's a beautiful thing. But we have to be consciously aware of that all the time, otherwise you take it for granted, I think.
Okay, can you tell us some of the key projects to support marriage and family life that you're currently working on in your department?
Well, we have been working for the last, 6 years now, in fact, a project called Celebrate Love, which is a weekend marriage enrichment program we run for couples based on John Paul's catechesis, Theology of the Body. We introduced it from an Australian organisation 6 years ago, as I say, and we've had roughly about 180, 200 couples go through that seminar now. Not all of them from the diocese, some of them have been from further afield. But they in turn become leaders in their own parish communities and, as it were, ambassadors for this theology of the family in the life of the church. And that's been really successful, though it's still embryonic. We're trying to create more opportunities for those seminars to happen. And they supplement and complement the marriage preparation work that we do for engaged couples. We encourage lots of different courses in the diocese, but one in particular called Engage was one that Cardinal Cormac officially endorsed, as it were, and launched for us in 2008. And that's designed for married couples to act as mentor couples to the engaged, both in the parish and also in their own home, which is quite a unique component of this marriage preparation. There you have to actually see an engaged couple, or maybe a few engaged couples, in your own living room. As it were, puts flesh on the bone of this theology of the domestic church. And a lot of the engaged couples who experience the course really give us tremendous positive feedback, that they really feel that they're being helped to understand that they're getting married in the church, not just at the church, which is an important distinction.